of The Kevin Miller Show is brought to you by MinutemanRx.com. American families, American veterans, taking care of Americans. Fighting for America.
I do not know of specific circumstances or details of U.S. soldiers dying as a result of efforts to find and rescue Sergeant Bergdahl.
Fighting for Idaho.
The amount of attention on the small mountain town has led to the cancellation of their Bow is Back event.
We're only a town of 8,000. We won't have the capacity for the volume of people that may come to town.
Fighting for you.
Summertime is definitely what we would call financially lean. Months.
We don't see a decrease in the numbers of people we're serving in the summer, but we do see a decrease in the amount of dollars coming in for support.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And Kevin Miller here at 580 KIDO. Miller's mission from the Walmart at Garrity and Franklin. It has been a long time since I've had the pleasure of having my great friend, a person who has always been there for me. I've talked about him for many, many years. I've known him since 1999. Sean Hannity, of course, you can catch him weekday afternoons at 3. You can catch him on the Fox News channel. You can catch him everywhere. Joins us now at 580 KIDO. Good morning,
Kevin,
Sean.
How are you, my friend? What's going on? Well, I did get to spend some time with you in Philadelphia recently.
I know, Sean, and it was a pleasure to see you. And what I always love about you, Sean, is you always are a champion of the American people. You're always a champion of the little guy, and I really appreciate you always being there for me.
Oh, listen, you know what? You're one of the great talents in our business. One of the things that drives me crazy in our business is all these people that say, I want a radio show, and I expect to get paid millions of dollars. And I'm like, well, this is a profession. You know, Kevin, for those that don't know, Kevin and I have traveled the country working on individual radio stations as we've, you know, as our careers have grown. And, you know, we actually like to consider this a real business, a real profession, something that's really important to us. And it drives me a little bit nuts when people think, oh, I can do a radio show. It's simple. And it's not what most people think in that way. But, you know, so we're kind of, We've been armed travelers together in that sense, that, you know, you and I have paid a lot of dues and we've gone to a lot of places, and both of us love doing it. We share war stories all the time when we talk about it.
Sean, in your heart of hearts, you are a radio guy. We're so happy to have you here at 580KIDO every afternoon at 3. Why do you love radio so much?
Boy, you know, I bet you can identify with this. Howard Stern once said it. And if you watch his movie, even though some people may not like Howard Stern going over the top sometimes, he's actually a pretty insightful guy. And but I don't know what happened, but the first time that light went on, something just started coming out of me. And I liked it. And I am still amazed by it today. I can't really explain it. I mean, a part of me that I didn't even know really existed in me, and I was drawn to the radio late at night. I know a lot of people, or the kids, are told to, you know, I guess turn the TV off. For me, my parents were screaming at me late at night, turn the radio off. And I was drawn to talk radio. There was some of the best pioneers in the business in New York, you know, guys like that I know you know, Barry Farber, and before him Barry Gray, and later on, you know, people like Bob Grant came on the scene, and I lived in New England for a while, and there were guys there like Jerry Williams and Gene Burns, and these were the real pioneers of talk radio. I mean, to use an analogy, they were the Mickey Mantles, the Babe Ruths, the Lou Gehrigs of radio ahead of us, especially for our format, which is talk radio. And they were smart, and they were good. You know, they used to actually, for interactive talk to take place in the early days, they actually would have a phone to their ear, and they'd say, all right, joining us now is Joe from Boise, and Joe, what's on your mind today? All right, so Joe's telling me that he doesn't like the prisoner swap because they couldn't even put them on the air in the early days. So, you know, technology's come a long way, and I just love the outlet. I think it's basically America's town hall, and personally it's fun to do. The best part of my day is actually being on the air. You know, it's all the work behind the scenes that, you know, becomes a little bit grind-oriented at times.
Well, and you love to work, Sean. You love to work. It is your passion. And, again, yep. I grew up with Jerry Williams and Gene Burns and truly the pioneers. Do you feel a responsibility, since you are so old school in our genre talk radio, to continue on with that mantle?
You know, I don't even begin to put myself in their category, to be honest. You know, this may sound strange. You know, what I try to do every day is I get up in the morning, I start reading newspapers. Right now I have in front of me four newspapers. I have the New York Daily News, the New York Post, USA Today, and the Wall Street Journal. Right. I still like to read a newspaper. I mean, since the time I was 8 years old and I delivered newspapers in the morning, I used to get up in the morning, sit by the heater in the wintertime, and I'd fold my newspapers, and I'd end up reading them, and my parents would come out screaming at me that I wasn't out delivering them. And so I've always had a passion and a love for reading a newspaper. And, you know, at that point when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, all I cared about was sports. Now all I care about is sports and politics, so and my family, of course, but... So I just want to do the best job possible, and to do a good show every day and day in and day out, I think it's just a matter of the work that you do behind the scenes. You know, look, everybody in life, and one of the best things in my life that I've ever had happen to me is I did a lot of blue collar work, everything in the restaurant industry, everything in the construction industry, you know, and I talk about it on air a lot, and sometimes my producers start rolling their eyes and basically giving me the look. I know you walked uphill to school, walked uphill there and back, you know, and your bare feet. But what it did was it gave me perspective. And the perspective is that everybody has to serve other people in life. Life's not about yourself. So I kind of look at what we do as providing news, information, entertainment to people every day. And if you want to know what the top stories of the day are, if you want to meet the top newsmakers, this is the show that we try to deliver that promise every day.
Sean Hannity with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Sean, I was very blessed.
By the way,
I never wanted
to be a morning guy ever. I go to sleep when you're getting up.
Yes,
I have a very different work clock than you.
Well, sometimes it's out of necessity, Sean. But anyway.
Yeah, I know. Mornings are tough.
I was very blessed to get some guidance from a gentleman that meant so much to you and still does, Bill Donovan. A lot of people don't know how you got started and how you started living your dream and the people that believed in you and still do today. Could you share that story with us?
You know, I'm friends with maybe one or two exceptions. I'm friends with every single person I've ever worked with or for, which I think is, you know, I'm kind of very blessed that I've had some great people in my life. You know, when I was listening to radio all those years, I never really thought that I would get into radio. It wasn't even like a dream. If anything, it was such a remote possibility that I could ever be the guy behind the mic.
Right.
That I never even thought that way. And for whatever reason, at some point, it was during the Iran-Contra affair, 1986, I started calling into radio programs. And because I'd kind of listened to a more aggressive style of talk in New York and in New England, you know, my calls got noticed pretty quickly. And I noticed that the guy that was hosting the program used to have to end up, you know, he'd keep me on for a long time. He'd put other callers on with me. I would start, you know, championing Ollie North, who at the time I didn't know I'd become best friends with.
Right.
And anyway, so I got a job at a college radio station. I was thrown off the air in 40 hours. And then I realized that I really wanted to do this, and I kind of put an ad in a trade publication, Radio and Records, and lo and behold, I got a call from Bill Donovan in Huntsville, Alabama, and he said, are you interested in maybe coming to work? We're changing one of our stations to talk. And I spent a lot of time on the phone with him and another guy, Dave Stone, and I packed everything I had, and I moved across the country to a state where I didn't know a single person except these two people I talked on the phone with. And I was getting paid $19,000 a year, and by the time I left 2 years later, I was doing the morning and the afternoon show. And I felt like the luckiest guy on earth. And then the local newspaper wrote an editorial, "Goodbye to the talk show host from hell." So I guess I made an impact.
Well, and you found the love of your life there, too.
She's sitting right next to me, the love of my life. That's correct.
Yep, that was a magical place, and all of us are very honored to have worked at that place that you set the precedent. Sean, what's the future of talk radio today in the ever-politically correct world that we live in?
You know, it's an interesting question because radio is evolving in many ways, and it's I still think it's the greatest communication medium out there. It's the warmth medium. On TV, you can move your head, you can shake your head, you can wink, you can nod, you can make an angry face and make a point. On radio, I think what you discover out of people more than anything, you can't fake it for 2, 3, 4 hours a day. And I think people are going to understand where you're really coming from, where your heart's coming from. So I always refer to it as a heart medium. The challenge for radio is the audience for content is there. The problem is that there are so many platforms now that we are competing with. Especially, I would argue, music radio has a bigger challenge in the end than talk radio does, because people can download their favorite songs to their iPod or their iPad, and they can soon they'll be able to plug it in their car. Then they got satellite radio that they're competing with, and they got iHeartRadio that they're competing with, and every station has a website where people can click and listen if they're at work, or a host has a website where they can click and listen at work. And I know this is maybe probably too much detail for our audience, but, you know, none of those platforms are measured for us. In other words, if people listen to our station, 580 in Boise online, we can't get credit for that listenership in terms of rating services. So I think that's the biggest challenge. I think the content, the fact that good content will always draw in listeners is great. But I think once we get the measurement fixed, it's going to work. Interestingly, two of the biggest liberal talk radio hosts, they were never that big, but the two biggest, have just left the industry because, you know, they just had no audience. So I think that conservative talk radio, I think its future is bright, but I think there's got to be an adjustment in terms of how we measure our audience and make sure that we get the full credit and the stations and the sticks get the full credit for the listenership that they develop. So that's my big right now, my big cause that I'm championing.
Well, Sean, I'm just humbled to call you a friend, and I'm so proud that you're here weekdays at 3. And you are such a great guy, and you're such a giver. And I've told everybody I was so excited that you were coming back, and just happy to
I'm
have
very
you.
Very excited about it. You guys are rocking, and it's such a great station, and you guys are just killing it out there. And I was out at Boise once when I was on one of my book tours, and it was funny. It was I spoke the morning before a game, and it was nice because I had a crowd full of people in jerseys.
Well, hopefully we'll get you out here. Sean, thank you very much, sir.
All right, Kevin. I'm proud of your success. Your friendship means a lot to me. God bless everybody out there. And by the way, it's safer out there than New York.
Take care, Sean.
I can't wait. I'm not wanted in my own state. Can you believe it?
We'd love to have you here.
No. You guys have a state income tax. You don't, do you?
We do.
You do? What is it?
Not much. Not bad.
Yeah. I met your governor a while back. Great guy.
He is. Great American, as are you.
All right, my friend. Thanks, Kevin.
Take care, Sean. Thank you. And there we have it, our interview with Sean Hannity from yesterday, available at 580kido.com. Kevin Miller in the Morning.
Thanks again for being here and having us on, and thanks to your sponsors. It's just been a great 12 years for me personally being here as director of the rescue mission, and I'm sure looking forward to the next few and seeing this thing continue to serve a lot of people.
Earning your trust every morning.
Thank God it's
Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Thank God it's.
And good morning. Here we are at the Walmart at Gearty. Kevin Miller in the Morning. We're joined by Jim in Middleton, who has come by to stop by here at 580 KIDO. Jim, you've been very vocal on the Bo Bergdahl story as the story continues to evolve. What do you have to say about it?
Well, Kevin, you know, you heard me the last few days on the radio, and I have been vocal, but I've been very careful not to state anything that's not true. For instance, you know, there's talk about whether he's treasonous or not right now, or if there's something like that going on. I reserve judgment, and as I said yesterday, the family should not be harmed or threatened in any way. But by the same token, a lot of people are saying, well, let's wait and hear the rest of the evidence. The evidence has been out for 5 years in regard to him deserting
But the public hasn't been made aware of it.
Understood, okay?
Really, but we've all been misled.
We have, you know, and it's very, very disappointing. All these years, listening to you on the radio, talk about that year after year, you know.
Pray for Bo this year.
You bet. And I was just so happy when I heard that he was being released. And then to hear all this other stuff come out, okay, I mean, we were lied to for the last 5 years. And again, I'm only going to take this so far because I don't want to prejudge on things that I don't know. But the fact remains that this man deserted his post, and heaven knows what else. And I'm very angry about being misled all these years by the higher up people that knew.
Sure, and it's an interesting story. Now you're starting to hear his side of the story, that he may have converted to Islam only to, how should we put this, to get better treatment from his captors, that he tried to escape, that he was in a cage for a while. You know, I think there's more to the story. Now, this is something that has not been reported by the national media. It has not been reported by the local media. And it is only you that listen to this show that will get this clip. This was a clip that has been available to everyone who went to that news conference or who watched the news conference. And I was there watching Bob and Jenny Bergdahl. So I want you to listen to this, Jim, and I want everybody to listen to this and get your reaction to this clip of Bob Bergdahl comparing Idaho to Afghanistan at 580 KIDO.
We're so much like Afghanistan. I wish I could write a book about that. Our character is a lot alike. The mountain, desert environment breeds tough people. People who know how to farm here and make a living, and it's hard, but it makes you tough. And it does, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you tougher.
Your reaction?
You know, I'm going to try to search for words here. I don't know what's in this guy's head at all. You know, this is a free country here. You can speak. Our women can go to school. They can drive a car and they can walk uptown without being bludgeoned to death. So, anyway, you know, there's nothing stopping anyone.
Let's delve into that here at 580 KIDO. And this has not been reported, but here you have Bo's father, who has spent time on the internet talking to these folks, extensive research, knows their religion, knows their way of life, is respected by them, has their beard, if you will, comparing the people of Idaho to the people of Afghanistan. And don't be left out here at 580-5436. Do you believe that we're like Afghanistanis, the Afghanis? Now back to you, Jim.
Well, like I was going to say, that there's nothing stopping anyone from Idaho or any other place in the United States, for that matter, that they can go and live in Afghanistan. So that's some of my advice for Mr. Bergdahl's
statements,
comments there. So anyway, I'm just shocked. It just continues to get worse and worse, Kevin. But again, I just want to say this. I'm not going to prejudge on whether this guy's a traitor or not. And you had mentioned, did this guy collaborate to keep his skin alive? Maybe he did. I'm not going to chastise him for that. The man deserted his post, and then we've got Susan Rice going back out there saying that the guy served with distinction. Maybe in this administration that is distinction. So I don't want to cloud the matter too much. I think that's what they call a hero.
Well, let me put it to you this way here, and I have it on good authority that if there is a charge against Sergeant Bergdahl, that his mental health, and you're hearing it not on CNN, you're hearing it not on Fox News, you're hearing it not on any news organization in the state or in the city, and if they're smart, they would pick up on this, but they're not. They didn't pick up on the Idaho comments. That his mental health will be evaluated, and people will determine whether or not he was of sound mind before he left his post. The New York Times reporting he's done that before, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, Jim, you're a boss. You're in charge of people, right? Okay. Look, I'm in charge of Willard, allegedly. If Willard acts goofy and deserts his post, I'm going to report that to my superiors. If one of your people act goofy and desert their post, it's incumbent upon you to let the higher command know what's going on and to address that with that individual, to put them under more supervision. Where was that for Bo Bergdahl?
Well, maybe there wasn't a mental issue. Maybe they're up to that point.
But Kevin, he had deserted his post, or, sorry, had left his post in California and, I believe, in Afghanistan before he was...
He left in California? I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was a pattern here, and it was detailed in the New York Times, I think yesterday. Consider the source, but there was a pattern here.
Kevin, this is the first I heard that, okay? If that's the case, then obviously... it didn't go up the chain of the command, and the guy should have never been in Afghanistan, period, then. If that's the case, if it was me and I had a guy leave the post there, and then he's going to go to more serious surroundings.
Well, here's another issue that kind of gets me. And, you know, when you're in command, you have to be, you're responsible for your troops. If someone comes up to me and we're deployed and all of a sudden they go, hey, do you mind if I, leave? Well, no, leave your night scope and leave your rifle here, and I have no problem with that. I mean, that's a put this guy in the brig, put him under supervision.
Well,
and there had been problems with his unit as far as discipline problems.
Well, hopefully this will come out in the information that's classified right now. I guess, is that where that information is, Kevin?
That's what we're hearing, but again, these are all published reports based on now declassified information.
Well,
the story continues to evolve, doesn't it?
It does. And like I said, as of right now, the only thing I know for sure is the fact that the man did desert. And all the other information will come out, and we'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that. But he's no hero in my mind at all.
What should be done to him?
Well... if we can get an honest evaluation and...
what if he's a kook?
Well, then if he is, Kevin, then you act accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, quite frankly.
All right. Jim from Middleton, you hanging out here with the Fun Bunch for a while? Or? Well, hold on. Jim, you're on the air still.
Kevin,
I know we're a little informal here, but...
I'm sorry. I am going to be leaving here shortly, Kevin, and then heading back to work.
I wanted to thank you for your support, for your family's donation, and your continued belief in us, sir.
Well, you're very welcome, Kevin. I want to say this, and I mean this sincerely. Okay, I judge a man. The Greeks say, "Euxeros pios anthropos isi pos parpatai." In English translation, that means I know the kind of man you are by the way you walk. And the reason you get some of my support and what have you is because of the extra work that you do. You put your money where your mouth is, and you have my respect. So that's why I listen to you and support you.
Now, are you Athens or Sparta when it comes to the Greeks? Which are you?
Well, I'm confused. No, I'm Greek.
Well, I know, but you got the Spartans who are the warriors, and the Athenians that are the founders of democracy. The only thing I know about your people is, our culture came from yours. So,
well, a lot of the democracy did, but remember this, as you well know, Kevin, this is a republic.
Yes.
Okay, and not a democracy, but yeah, the Greeks had a lot of influence on not just Western civilization, but many others as well. And anyway,
no rumors. Truth to the rumors that you're training to begin filming of 303, are you? No?
Well, wait for more reports to come out on that, Kevin.
All right. Jim from Middleton, we thank you. You're listening to 580KIDO.
Miller's mission is underway thanks to Team Mazda, Airstream Adventures Northwest, and the Boise Rescue Mission. Now, from the Garrity Walmart, here's Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, do want to remember the 70th anniversary of the Normandy invasion today. Take time to thank God for our great country and the men and women, but primarily the men, who saved America and saved the world. One of my, and the feminists may chuckle at that, but there was a time in America where the men were the leaders. The men made the decisions. If we could only go back to those great times, we can all dream, can't we? But I will say this at 580KIDO, that if you ever get a chance to go to Washington, D.C., or even if you don't, take a look at the plaque on the World War II Memorial. And I can't think of anything more accurate in reporting that greatest generation. And they, in the plaque, they detail why they have it in between the Washington Memorial and the Lincoln Memorial. And they say, between the founder and the protector of our great union. Here's a tribute to ordinary Americans that saved the world from fascism. And truly, for those of you that made it, God bless you. And to my friend Noel Doobie, 95% disabled, thank you for instilling in me a reverence for this day. Reverence, Reverend Bill Roscoe with us from the Boise Rescue Mission. Also, Jean Lockhart, woman at large.
At 580, large woman at large.
580KIDO.
Good here, start, Kevin.
Here we are, day five of Miller's Mission. Reverend Bill has been here the entire time. It's nice to be joined by you, finally.
Save the best for last, Kevin. That's what we like to do at the mission.
Somebody has to work at the rescue mission when
well,
I'm goofing off with you.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know something? As Sean Hannity said, this is a real job.
This is work.
He said that unlike other people, Kevin, you know that this is a job. And Reverend Bill, you understand that it's so important that you guide me through the process because I can get distracted.
Yeah, well, Kevin, I think you're amazing. Frankly, you're always multitasking. I wish everybody could see you when you're doing your program, how you're doing your cell phone on one hand, you get your computer up in front of you, and you're talking about something and making sense of it all at the same time.
Well,
amazing.
I have you fooled. Yes, we're working on the live blog even as we speak.
See?
Well, Kevin, actually, everyone could see Kevin if they came to the Walmart on Garrity and Franklin.
That's a good point, Miss Jean. And they could bring a box of disposable diapers for the Valley Women and Children's Shelter.
The new diapers.
Yeah. Yeah, please no use diapers.
No use diapers, indeed. But let's talk about this. We've talked about this with Reverend Bill, Jean Lockhart, the additional strain, the additional responsibility that you all have undertaken with the Valley Women and Children's Shelter, along with the miracle, really, of the lighthouse being refurbished. Reverend Bill and I were going over old times, and, you know, you and I had private conversations about a capital fund for the lighthouse, and it was going to be, you know, one of those large mountains to climb. And here we are, a few years later, a wonderful facility, the Lighthouse for Men, and a wonderful facility for the women and children.
It's exciting to see, and the community really came together and made it happen. And we're very excited about how we're serving people. At Valley, we had one of our girls who was living there got invited to the prom, but, of course, she was living in a shelter, and she felt like she probably couldn't go. But we pulled together, and we got donations, and she went to the prom, and she looked absolutely gorgeous. So it's really exciting to make that dream come true.
What did what was the impact on her?
Well, it's the impact is she got to go to her prom. That's a really big deal to teenagers.
But, I mean, how'd you look at how'd she look? How'd she
oh,
feel?
She looked beautiful, and she felt great. We decked her out with a beautiful dress, and we had people donate the hair and the makeup and the shoes and the purse. I mean, she looked absolutely perfect. You would never guess in a million years she went from Valley to the prom.
Amazing. And these are just little victories each and every day that will have an impact on her life.
That's right. We do a lot more than just make sure. I mean, it's primarily you've got to make sure it's safe and that there's shelter, good food, a warm bed, and we really take care of people's basic needs. But you've also got to try to help them get those extras that make life really inspiring and make them feel like they can go out and conquer the world. And so that's what we want them to do because that's how they can move out and be independent.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the need here in Canyon County compared to Ada County.
Well, the need is big.
Right, the women and children in particular, because City Light gets so much attention.
Right.
What about out here?
Well, we're just starting out here, and we have between 35 and 40 women and children. And the really interesting thing about Canyon County is never at City Light have we had more children than women, but at Canyon County we do. And you, for the moms out there, the single moms especially, you know that you do not want to be outnumbered by the kids.
Right.
So we have a lot of kids. We have a lot of women. And it's really exciting to see what we can do out here to help them get on their feet and move in a positive direction. And we're, of course, City Light and Valley are both run by the same director, Julie Jones. And we coordinate effort. We work together and make sure we're providing the best service for all the women and kids, no matter what county they're from.
We got children going to the summer program here from Nampa this year. For the first time, we've got kids from the Valley Women and Children's Shelter participating in the summer program for children. Talk about that, Jean, and let the folks know what we're doing with all those kids.
This is our fifth year of the summer program, and it's it runs full-time during the workday for the moms who are working. We want to keep them working, and we want the kids to have a safe and productive place to go. So they do everything from we go camping, we have fun, we go to the learning center, work on schoolwork. I've got a new teen program where the teens are going to actually have real jobs, and we're going to teach them how to get and keep a real job, what's important in the workforce, so that our kids can learn that work ethic and learn those skills, so that when they finally do, when they're finally, you know, grow up and need to get a job on their own, they've had all that background for all those years. So we are very excited about what we're doing with the kids this summer. It's going to be a lot of fun, but it's going to be educational as well.
You know, I was talking to Jim from Star, and he said to me, you know, they get regular stream of donations, and I go, no, this is all donations generated by people that listen to this program or that have been a part of the mission for years at 580KIDO. How do you guys make it?
It takes a lot of faith, Kevin, and we are a faith-based ministry, and we really mean that. You know, we really believe that God wants us to help people who are in need, homeless and hungry and broken and hurting people. And so we've endeavored to do that, and we do that always with a focus on what would Jesus do? You know, people wear that wristband. I've never worn one of those wristbands, but I've always tried to think about what would Jesus do? And he wants us to help homeless and hungry and hurting people. He wants us to take care of these children. Us, you know, we're the hands and the feet of Christ on this earth, and that's our mission, is to take care of people. And I've always believed, and I always will believe, that as long as that's our focus, and we are really, truly, sincerely endeavoring to help people because we love God, because God loves us, that he's going to be in that, he's going to take care of us. So we got 56 years of history here in the Valley, starting with a rented building on Main Street in Boise with about 14 beds, 7 bunk beds, and a small chapel kitchen dining room with a mom and pop operation, you know, with the director and his wife starting that mission up in 1958 to today having 4 facilities and a big warehouse in Boise and a staff of 70, 80 people. It's just remarkable. And we did all of that without any government money. We did all of that without any guaranteed income streams. We did all of that because God really cares about homeless people. And as long as we're focused on helping those people, I think God's going to be taking care of us.
Gene Lockhart, Reverend Bill, 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Miller's mission continues. What about the summer months? What do they mean to you? What would you like to say to people right now?
I would say that homelessness isn't going to take a holiday or a vacation. We have more women and children in the summer than any other time during the year. And I think that it's difficult for us because people take the summer off and they go and have fun and do things, and I think that's great. But please don't forget that we're still here. And if you want a great volunteer opportunity, the summer is fantastic because we don't have as many volunteers as during the holidays. Or if you're wanting to donate, this is a fantastic time because the need is high, but the donations fall off in the summer.
I would encourage people to come down to the rescue mission too, Kevin, if they want to get a hold of one of us.
That might be intimidating.
Well, and I want people to come down so they can see that it's really not intimidating. I mean, the notion is intimidating, but once you get there, our facilities are clean, they're safe, they're very user-friendly, very family-oriented, and I want to encourage people, just pick up the phone and make a call and let me know, or Gene, or any one of us on staff, that you'd like to come by and have a look, and we'll visit with you, take you around and show you what we're doing and introduce you to some of our staff. And for that matter, you can just show up at the rescue mission, especially during regular business hours, and say, I'd like to have a look at your facility, and one of our staff will be happy to meet and greet and take you on that tour. Because I think when people come in and see what we're doing and how we do what we do, and even meet some of the guests and program people that we're serving, it really inspires them and encourages them to become supporters of the rescue mission or volunteers on our team.
More coming up, 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
6:56, Kevin Miller in the morning, remembering Normandy. Let's hear from President Reagan.
Yes. At dawn on the morning of the 6th of June, 1944, 225 Rangers jumped off the British landing craft and ran to the bottom of these cliffs. Their mission was one of the most difficult and daring of the invasion: to climb these sheer and desolate cliffs and take out the enemy guns. The Allies had been told that some of the mightiest of these guns were here, and they would be trained on the beaches to stop the Allied advance. The Rangers looked up and saw the enemy soldiers at the edge of the cliffs shooting down at them with machine guns and throwing grenades, and the American Rangers began to climb. They shot rope ladders over the face of these cliffs and began to pull themselves up. When one Ranger fell, another would take his place. When one rope was cut, a Ranger would grab another and begin his climb again. They climbed, shot back, and held their footing. Soon, one by one, the Rangers pulled themselves over the top, and in seizing the firm land at the top of these cliffs, they began to seize back the continent of Europe. 225 came here. After 2 days of fighting, only 90 could still bear arms.
Thank you for your great service, O great generation. God bless. Time for traffic now at 580.